If you'd like to open your Bibles to John chapter 4, that'll be the first passage we'll reference here in just a moment. John chapter 4. It's good to have everyone with us today as we assemble together to worship our Heavenly Father. It is always our prayer that the worship we offer to Him is found acceptable in His sight, and that it comes from a heart and a mind that is centered upon worshiping Him, worshiping His most holy name. Last week, we presented the second part of a three-part series looking at avoiding spiritual poverty. I have no doubt that spiritual poverty runs rampant in the world today. We looked last week at several results of the spiritual poverty seen within the world. For instance, there's no spiritual goal or direction that would be of any significance within the minds of the world. They don't seek to serve God. They don't seek to follow Him. There's much ungodliness and unrighteousness that abounds. With this spiritual poverty comes vulnerabilities to the temptations, to the wicked and evil influences. With the spiritual poverty comes broken homes and broken churches. What I'd like to do with today's lesson is to look at how we can avoid spiritual poverty. Now, we can't solve it for the world. The only solution for spiritual poverty in the world is for us to teach the Word of God and pray that they will hear His Word and submit unto Him. When they submit unto the Lord, then they begin the path out of that spiritual poverty. But what we can do in our roles as His children is to make certain that we don't allow ourselves to fall into that state of spiritual poverty. What we're going to consider here this morning in the course of this is the answer to this very important question. How do we avoid it? I think sometimes the greatest challenge is many times we don't even realize that we are in spiritual poverty, if truly it be that that is the way that our life is lived. An individual may truly be living spiritually impoverished, but not even realize it, because they've left the source of the nutrition that brings the salvation to the souls. Peter talks about an individual in 2 Peter. We won't read the passage in this lesson, but remember, he talks about those in 2 Peter chapter 2 who are led astray by the false teachers. They listen to them, they listen to what they say, and they are led away by them away from the Lord. Their state is much worse than it would have been had they never heard the truth. And so if we will work within our lives to stay spiritually rich in our Lord and Savior, if we will seek to avoid the spiritual poverty, then we can actually help be a solution to the world in teaching them and leading them to Christ. But if we want to avoid spiritual poverty, we've got to partake of God's Word. You kind of saw this as being the first point of the lesson. Because the Word of the Lord is the very thing that brings us this life, this understanding. There are a lot of instances within our lives where we are facing challenges, and we have to ask ourselves, what do we consult first in trying to solve these issues? Well, it needs to be the Word of God. Now, in the first lesson of this study, we showed the problem with the world is that they reject the words of Jesus Himself. He is the living water. He is the bread of life, and they reject that. But listen, we have to continue partaking of this. Notice with me in John chapter 4, beginning there in verse 10. John chapter 4, beginning in verse 10. And we looked at this, like I said, in our first lesson a little bit, but I'd like to read it again. Jesus here, He says, talking to the woman at the well, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked Him and He would have given you living water. Now let's jump down to verse 13. He goes on to kind of talk to the woman and explain and answer the question she poses. He says, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, talking about the physical water there in the well. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. And then over in John chapter 6, we see the other side of this coin. Him being the bread of life. And again, we did look at this in the first lesson. So let me focus on verse 35. He says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. And then jump down in the text to verse 47. He says there, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Think about that. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the man in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of this world. So we recognize that, yes, the world needs this living water. It needs the bread of life, but we must continue to abide within it. We must continue to abide within the teachings of Christ. We must continue to abide within His life and the life that He has established for us to live, walking faithfully unto our Heavenly Father. But if we forget, if we neglect to open our Bibles and to study them, then we are going to cease partaking of that living water, cease partaking of the bread of life. The Apostle Peter, as he's closing the end of his second letter there, notice the admonition he makes to the brethren. And this is going to be a continuing admonition to us today. Notice there, 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 17. He says, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. So he warns them here in the course of the context of this letter here. He warns them at the end to take care, to beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with what? The error of the wicked. So we have to continue to study His Word. We have to continue to abide within His Word so that we don't fall prey to this being led astray. But instead, as verse 18 says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in the grace, grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is how we stay, how we avoid this spiritual poverty. We stay in the Word. We have the Word in our hearts, in our minds. Let's go a little further with this idea of studying the Word of God. The Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he makes the observation regarding Timothy's upbringing of the things that were crucial within Timothy's life that brought him to salvation. And notice here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning there in verse 14, he says, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. He then says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. He says, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then he says, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. Timothy had to understand that not only was it essential that he grow in his understanding of God's word, being able to rightly handle the word of God, but he also had to be reminded that there were things to tell the brethren to avoid, to watch out for. Again in verse 14, striving about words to no profit. Verse 16, shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. It was the word of God, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, but we'll go back to verse 14. It is the word of God that brought Timothy to that point, to have this understanding, so that he might be able to withstand and to teach brethren how to withstand. Now, notice here in verse 14, 2 Timothy 3, but you must continue in the things which you've learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Then he says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Look at how powerful that word and all-encompassing that word is to give us what we need so that we might serve God. But yet there's the temptation to become lazy, to become apathetic, and to quit studying His word. If we quit studying His Word, then we open ourselves up to spiritual poverty. He's given us everything that we need so that we might serve Him faithfully. But if we walk away from that, then we will find ourselves spiritually impoverished. Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1, let's start our reading there in verse 22. Kind of following in the same mindset, but I want you to notice what Peter builds up to. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, he says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth of the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, he says, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Having been born again, he says, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God which lives and abides forever. This is the same word that Paul was talking about in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is this incorruptible seed, the word of God which lives and abides forever. He says, because all flesh is as grass and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. He says, the grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now, this is a word which by the gospel was preached to you. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You see the point? The Lord has given us this incorruptible seed. Matter of fact, for those who have already obeyed the gospel's call, you have been born again of this incorruptible seed, which is the word of God, which lives and abides and endures forever. And we are so thankful to Him because He has given us His word in such a form and a fashion that has endured the centuries upon centuries, so that we can stand here today in 2024 and have His word and open it up every single day. There was a time when carrying your Bible around meant a big, heavy book. Gutenberg. Go back to the first printed version of the Bible. I would not be standing up here holding it quite as easily as we hold it today. Or if I chose to teach from my tablet and have the Bible program there. But now think about the comfort that we have so that we are without excuse if we neglect to study the Word of God. We have it every single day within our lives. And on top of that, the Lord has also given us the local church to help us to grow in the Word of God. Yes, we have an individual responsibility to study His Word. And there are many resources that help us and aid us in our study. But the greatest of resources He's given us is us, the local congregation. It's why we come together, so that we might study together, so that we might grow together. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the church in Ephesus, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, just real quick look at this. And he himself, Ephesians 4, verse 11, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We have evangelists, we have pastors, we have teachers, we have the written word of God, so that we might be strong, so that we might grow together, so that we may not be children, verse 14, who are tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. All this is so that we could work together, every joint supplying its part, so that we can all grow together. When you grow in the Word of God, when I grow in the Word of God, when we all grow in the Word of God, we avoid spiritual poverty, and instead we enjoy spiritual health, because we are walking in fellowship with our Heavenly Father. But if we neglect it, if we neglect the great things that God has given us through His Word, then we open the door for the spiritual poverty. Here's what we have to do. Let's go a little farther. We've been talking about studying His Word, growing in understanding, growing in knowledge. But consider what the Hebrew writer says. Hebrews chapter 10. Now, context is a little bit different in this. But I do believe there is a direct application we can learn from this. The Hebrew writer, he talks about the prophecy of Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1, 31, beginning in verse 31, going down to verse 34. talks about the coming of the new covenant. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 8 helps us understand he's talking about the new covenant of Jesus Christ. And in describing what it would be like in those days, and the Hebrew writer applying it to the time period of the church, the body of Christ, the Lord says, I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. We are not going to faithfully serve him unless his word is in our hearts and within our minds. We're not going to do it. It may academically be there, sad question. Don't raise your hand. Have you ever known of a gospel preacher who had an affair on his wife? Where's the excuse? I mean, we're not talking about a momentary weakness where you stumble. We're not talking about slamming the hammer down on your thumb and letting out a swear word. We're not talking about something that spontaneously happens. At that moment, could it really be said the word of God was written on his heart and on his mind, on her heart, on her mind, whoever the sin is with? And that's just one example. The point is, if we are going to be striving to serve the Lord, we are only going to be able to do so if his word is on our hearts and on our minds. And the only way it's going to be there is if we willingly take the time to study it, to get to know it, to let it abide within us. And as we'll talk about here in just a moment, to guide the very lives that we live. The Apostle Paul in his letter, not Paul, the Apostle John, in 1 John chapter 2, verses 24 through 25, he says something that's very similar to the statement made by the Hebrew writer in quoting Jeremiah 31. At least I think there's a similarity between the two. He says here in 1 John chapter 2, verse 24, therefore let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. Listen to that again. Therefore let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. It's more than simply saying, oh, I remember what I did to become a Christian. I remember what I was told. It is the idea of letting it abiding with you where you live it, where it shapes your life. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, listen to what he says, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is a promise that he has promised us, eternal life. When we study the Word of God, when we partake of his Word, we have to willingly make the choice to grow. We must have the desire there to want to grow. It's not simply about showing up to the church building once a week and clocking in. It's about living every single day, abiding in the Word, letting the Word abide within you, and you end up, because of your fellowship with God, you abide within Him and you abide within Christ. And what this enables us to do is to live our lives by His Word. This is the fundamental point of what we're talking about. It's one thing to know the Word of God. It's another thing to truly know it, where it guides our lives. It affects the very decisions that we make, that we will weigh the decisions within our life against what the Word of God teaches and not allow ourselves to get caught up in the mindset that really that all is that is what is all important are the physical things of this world. The example I gave a while ago, preachers having affairs on their wives, thinking materialistically, physically, not spiritually. And that's an extreme example. You can fill in 100 other examples where for a moment we think physically and we aren't worried about the spiritual bread of life. Now, real quick, I want to kind of bring this in and we're going to move on with the lesson here. But in Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 through 4, when Jesus is being tempted by the devil, he says, you know, why don't you turn the stone into bread? And Jesus says, he quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. He makes a statement there that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now that statement there, he is quoting from Deuteronomy 8, verses 2 through 3. I said through 4, but it's 2 and 3 there. And in that case of point, God was going to, he says, you're going to be tested, talking about Israel there. And part of the testing was going to be he would send them manna. They wouldn't live just by bread that they would make and that they would produce and everything. But they were going to be living by his word. His word would speak and manna shall fall. So that they might learn that they are to live not by bread alone, but by every word of God. Well, in this case of point, the application is that Jesus is that bread of life. In John 8, 32 through 35, he says basically he's the bread from heaven there. And so the point I'm trying to make with this, that we're kind of getting there and worked on this a little bit, I want to make sure it is clear. When we think only about carnal things, then there's really no difference between us and the temptation to Jesus, turn this stone to bread. He could have done that. He had the power of all things. But that wasn't what needed to be done. He told the devil there that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. We are not to live our lives so concerned with the things of this world that the decisions that we make completely ignore the bread of life and all that God has given to us. We trust in him. We live by every word of God so that we will end up seeking the kingdom of God. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 34, Jesus here in his Sermon on the Mount, I want you to notice here what he says, what he tells them to seek first. And then after we read this, kind of think to yourself, can we achieve this if we are solely focused on living by bread alone and not living by every word of God? Matthew chapter 6, beginning there in verse 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, Jesus says. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Notice that. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Don't seek to live by bread alone. Seek to live by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. That means when we live our lives and the decisions that we have to make, we are going to consider first what God's word has to say. And it'll help us to overcome temptation. It'll help keep us out of situations that are harmful to our souls. It'll enable us to walk in fellowship with God. John, this was his prayer. In 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, this was the reason why the apostles continue to teach the children of God. Notice with me in 1 John chapter 1. Let's start our reading there in verse 3. He says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. Now notice the next part. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Remember what we read a while ago? If we keep his commandments, if we let his word abide within us, then we abide within the Father and within him. This is the same idea here. He says that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Then verse 5, he says, this is a message which we've heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. When we partake of the word of God, it's preparing us to live according to the word of God. And when we live according to the word of God, then we walk in fellowship with God. We walk hand in hand. 1 John chapter 2, verse 24. I referenced this briefly. Let's go back to it. 1 John chapter 2, verse 24. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. It's much more than simply memorizing Bible verses. There's nothing wrong with memorizing Bible verses, but it's useless if we don't live according to those Bible verses. It's useless if we don't let it shape and change our lives. One more verse on this point, 1 John 3, verse 24. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. It is crucial that we abide within his word, that we serve him, that we follow him, that we live our lives walking in a manner that's worthy unto him. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, the Apostle Paul in his letter there encourages the brethren to walk worthy of the calling of the gospel of Christ. But he uses a similar statement in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. I'd like to turn over there. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. This was the passage that we used for our scripture reading earlier. And there's a very particular point I want to drive home here in Colossians 1, verse 9. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Notice this. Paul writes, we do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why was it so crucial that they be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding? Verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, so that we might walk worthy of the Lord, so that we might be fully pleasing to the Lord. But in order to be there, in order to do that, we have to have an understanding of the Word of God, and we must live according to the Word. Now, real quickly, and the lesson will be yours, there are certain things we need to avoid, okay? Avoid the things that are bad for us. Look on YouTube, what should I not eat? And you'll find a whole bunch of videos about what not to eat. Some things good, some things bad. Until you talk to someone else, some things bad, some things good. That's a whole nother lesson, calling good evil and evil good. But I want you to notice this here. There are three things that we have to avoid. First thing is things that distract us. Okay? There are things in the world that will distract us from our serving God. It may be things that seemingly are really insignificant in the whole scheme of things, if you would, but we become so focused on them that we miss seeing the stumbling blocks. Have you ever fallen before? It's easy to do. Just don't look where you're going. How many times as a parent, when you've seen your child stumble, your first words out of your mouth used to be, well, nowadays it's, are you okay? It used to be, watch where you're going, because you weren't paying attention. And you stumble over something, you fall. Well, that's what happens when we are distracted, when we are not focusing upon serving the Lord. We lose our spiritual focus, and the next thing you know, we find ourselves being in the state of Peter. Peter is walking on the water, but yet he looked away, being frightened by the tempest, and he began to sink. Or what about Lot's wife? She was distracted by what was behind her and turned and looked back. And if we do that, then it's going to cause us to fall, to lose focus, and to not serve the Lord. We need to also, and kind of in a similar mindset, we need to avoid those things that will lead us astray. It may not be now just a simple distraction. It could be a full-blown misleading. Might be something the wisdom of man says. It might be something the worldly influences bring to bear upon us. It could even be our own desires and discontentments. But at that point, now it's not a simple case of being distracted. Now we've changed course completely. And we've allowed ourselves to go astray from the Lord. We need to avoid those luring obstacles that would try to pull us away from him. And the third thing is, avoid those things that poisons our soul. There are things out there that will poison our soul, that will remove us completely from fellowship with God. Uncontrolled emotions, such as anger and jealousy. There's a reason why the apostles talk about that, Colossians chapter 3. Uncontrolled emotions, uncontrolled anger and jealousy will lead an individual down a path that is completely contrary and away from the fellowship with God. Uncontrolled desires, such as sexual immorality, one of many we could talk about. People started down this path because they were listening to those temptations instead of listening to the Word of God, and they poisoned their very souls. We could also talk about pride, arrogance, selfishness, covetousness. Any others? Some things can distract us. Other things may lead us away, but then there are other things that just we allow ourselves to give into, and we've separated ourselves completely from God. We need to avoid those things. We need to stay away from them. We need to avoid spiritual poverty. We do that by studying God's Word. Don't let it be once a week. Don't let it be just only when we come together to worship and to have our Bible studies. Those are great times to study together. They're wonderful. They're helpful. They help us to grow. And we should seek those times together. But even in our own individual lives, study the Word. Write His Word upon our hearts, upon our minds. Live by every word of God. And one more point we didn't talk much about, but it does come from the text in Colossians 1:9-11. Pray for wisdom. Pray for understanding. James says in James 1:5, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally. Now here's a question for you. After all this consideration, are you still in spiritual poverty? Or are you walking in fellowship with God? Only you fundamentally can answer that question. Because only you can look at the life that you're living and compare it to what the Word of God teaches and draw the conclusion shown to you by the Word of God. If you're serving the Lord, that's great. That is awesome. Keep on keeping on. Keep eating right, spiritually speaking. Keep living right, and keep walking in fellowship with God. But if you've allowed yourself to be distracted, to be led astray, or even to have your soul poisoned, if you would, then it's time to repent. Address the issue, address the problem, and ask God to forgive you and return back to His fold. If you're not a Christian, you are living in spiritual poverty. But the wealth of salvation awaits your obedience to the gospel's call into salvation. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then act upon that belief today. Make the repentant change within your heart, within your mind. Be buried with Him through baptism so you'll rise up then to walk in a newness of life. Now, being rich in His blessings, in the salvation of your soul, live faithfully so that one day you will spend eternity with Him in heaven. It's a choice that you need to make this morning. If you're subject to the gospel's call and invitation, come forward as we stand and as we sing.